Good morning. Good morning. And it's the first Sunday of the new year, so it's not too late for me to say Happy New Year to you all. So Happy New Year. We're here to worship God together. We're here to hear from Him, to encounter Him, to go away transformed. And the start of the new year is always kind of a good time to almost take stock of where we're going, look ahead, and I'm excited to see what God's got for us all in 2024. Obviously, the kind of liturgical year already started back at the beginning of Advent, but it's good to take a look at the beginning of the calendar year and just kind of fit into those rhythms. It's a natural rhythm where we might say, right, it's the start of something new, and we are looking forward. In Advent, we were looking forward to Christmas, we were looking forward to Jesus' coming. Now we're looking forward to what God has got for us this year. So in the Anglican calendar, yesterday was Epiphany. Today is actually the first Sunday after Epiphany, which is where we look at Jesus' baptism. We're not actually focusing on that too much during the service. I'll bring it up in a second. We're actually going to be starting, and if I can advance the slides, we're starting a new series from 2 Corinthians called Triumph in Trials. And Dave's going to be speaking in a little while, and then we're going to move on into communion. Dave's going to be speaking on comfort in troubles from 2 Corinthians 1. And actually, that's quite a nice little segue from Christmas, where we sing songs about tidings of comfort and joy, and now we're looking at comfort again from the perspective of a God of all comfort who comforts us in our troubles. But I don't want to steal too much of Dave's sermon. So we're going to start with a psalm, and it would be great actually if we could all say it together. It's the psalm for today in today's service, and because it's kind of linked with Jesus' baptism, it features water quite a lot. And as I read it, I thought, do you know what? It's quite appropriate for what's happening in the weather. So if you are able to, please would you stand, and we will read this together. It's Psalm 29, and we're going to read verses 1 to 3 and 9 to 10. Ascribe to the Lord, you powers of heaven. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The Lord sits enthroned above the water flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore. Let's pray as we begin the service. Heavenly Father, as we join together in worshiping you this morning, may we each one experience the comfort that comes from knowing that we are your children, that we are loved by you, and that nothing can separate us from your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And we're now going to sing, Bless the Lord.
So for those young at heart and young in years, there are instruments down at the front to really come and help the band raise the roof. So, and this is a great song, I think, for the beginning of a new year, just looking over a day in our lives and a year in our lives. What is happening at the beginning of this new year? We're blessing the Lord. We're worshipping his holy name.
Worship.
take a seat. So as I said earlier, yesterday was Epiphany, and Epiphany is when we think about the Magi coming to visit Jesus, or the wise men, as some people call them. Speaking of wise men, I'd like to introduce someone new to you, and I wonder if Ethan could come to the front. I'm hoping he's here. He goes, hiding at the back. So Ethan is going to be working with us over the next few months, and I just wanted to introduce him, find out a little bit more about him, what he's going to be doing, and then we'll pray for him. Watch your footing on there, there's cables everywhere. So do you want to stand there? I'll move over to the side. This is Ethan. Welcome to you. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're doing, why you're here, all that jazz?
Yeah, so I'm Ethan. I've lived in Malvern all my life. Most recently, I've been with the Salvation Army in Worcester, but now I'm up at Regent's Theological College doing a youth track, so it's an applied degree in theology within youth ministry. And so between now and Easter, I'm going to be here with you guys helping out with Chaos and Pathfinders.
Great, six things. And what stage are you at in your time at Regents? Is this your first year?
First year.
And how long is that course?
3 years.
Okay. So it'd be good. You're obviously going to rush out to help out with Pathfinders in a moment. But before we do that, we would like to pray for you. Is there anything in particular you'd like prayer for while you're here, or at Regents or anything?
That my placement here obviously would go well, and then the assignments would all work.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Yeah, I know that feeling. So I wonder if I could invite some people to join me for praying. Simon, if you'd come up, and if any of the Pathfinders or Chaos are feeling brave enough to come and pray for Ethan, I mean, it's in your interest, to be honest.
They're not normally this shy when
I know,
no. In the group, I've got to be honest with the Pathfinders, but this behaviour this morning.
I know, no, you don't need a mic, Simon, but I'll give you one anyway.
Oh, thank you.
If I could turn it on. There we go. Oh, wow, we've got a crowd. Excellent.
Absolutely brilliant, mate, and welcome. Lord, just pray for this guy. It's so great that we've got him to help out with helping our young people build their faith in you, Jesus. And just bless him as he does that. And bless him as he builds relationships here at St. Andrew's. And he said to me he's just had 7 weeks off and he's worried he won't be able to get back into his studies, Lord. So bless him as he does his first assignments in your name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for Ethan and for his desire to serve you in this area. We just pray for all of his studies that they would go well, that he would get closer to you as he learns the theology. It's not all just head knowledge, but that he would grow close to you. And as he spends time with us here, would he just be such a blessing to the leaders, to the young people, but also would you bless him? Thank you for his heart of service, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I just thank you for Ethan. I thank you that you have brought him here to us at St. Andrew's. I thank you for those moments where we've got to talk over the last few months as well. And I just pray that you will keep filling him afresh each and every day as he hunts for your word. And I just pray that that will be a blessing to our young people as well, because he truly will be, Lord. And I just thank you for all that you have been doing already and that you've already equipped him. In your name I pray for him. Amen.
Amen.
I pray for you, Ethan, that you'll know this as a home from home and that you'll know it as a home of the Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Great. Thank you, guys. And then the children and young people are going to go out to their groups now, which is why we were praying for Ethan now, because he's off to do some work. We'll pray for you as you go. Father God, we pray that you would bless everyone who's going out to other groups now, that they would encounter you as much as we would encounter you in this room in here. Lord, bless them all, bless their service, and may they grow closer to you. Once the hubbub has died down, we're going to move into a time of confession. And the confession we're using is from a Celtic New Year service. And the whole kind of service is all about looking at the new year, looking at a fresh start, looking at kind of rededicating ourselves to God at the beginning of the year. And this is part of the confession from it. There are bits for me to say and for you to join in. To be honest, I think they've got a little bit jumbled in translation, but it doesn't matter. Say whatever you want to say. It's all good stuff. So I think theoretically you're supposed to say the white bits and I'm supposed to say the yellow bits, but hey, let's not worry. What's colour? So let's have just a kind of a moment of pause to reflect on before we confess. You remembered us when we had forgotten you, followed us when we ran away, met us with forgiveness whenever we turned back to you. Your loving kindness is everlasting. Your loving kindness is everlasting. God, our Father, you have set forth the way of life for us in your beloved Son. We confess with shame our slowness to learn from him, our reluctance to follow him. You have spoken and called, and we have not given heed. Your beauty has shone forth, and we have been blind. Be tender in your mercy, Lord. Be tender in your mercy. Forgive us that we have not loved you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Forgive us our coldness and indifference, our lack of constant love, our unbelief, our false pretenses, our refusal to understand your ways. Be tender in your mercy, Lord. Be tender in your mercy. Teach us your ways, O Lord, and let us walk in your truth. We put behind us our stubborn independence and turn again to you. Amen. We're going to move on to sing "The Lord is Gracious and Compassionate," which is such a great song to sing after a confession. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us.
As I was preparing for these intercessions, I asked myself the question, what's most on my heart? What do I wish for most for the new year? And I came up with several sections that I thought would be on my heart and in my prayers for this year, and I'd like to pray through some of those. So the first area I want us to pray for is for all the people suffering due to trouble through war or famine or strife of any sort. So let us pray for those whose lives are right on the edge. Heavenly Father, please guide all who work to bring relief to the many troubled regions across our world. Lord, there are so many suffering people and nations due to war, violence, unfair distribution of resources, climate change, and human cruelty and selfishness. Please, Lord, protect, comfort, and heal all the children, the women, and the men who face unspeakable loss and profound emotional and physical challenges. Lord, we ask you to raise up women and men who have the ability to communicate with both sides in every conflict and suggest ways to quickly de-escalate the violence. We particularly pray for the end of conflict in Gaza, the Ukraine, Ethiopia, Syria, the Sudan, and Haiti. And Lord, unite us all in prioritizing and pursuing a lifestyle where all can thrive in your peace, mercy, and abundance. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. The second thing that I wanted to pray for myself was to pray for my delightful grandson, who's clearly at an area in his life where he's ready to move forward and to grow physically, emotionally. And so I started to think about particular people who I knew needed prayer at this time. So I'd invite you to just pray for yourself, either silently or mumbling away if you want to. I'd like you to think now of particular people who you know have needs, whether they're family, whether they're people you know who are sick. Let's pray for specific people who are on our hearts. So I'm just going to step back and pray, and then I will come back to the microphone in a moment. After we've all prayed for these people who are most on our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The next thing that came to me as I was praying was to just think about the direction for this church, feeling in my heart that 2024 was going to be a significant year. And so let's pray for our leaders as they take us forward into this year. Father, we thank you for the leaders in this church, especially Lord Dave and Helen and Liz and all those who serve in so many different situations. Lord, we ask you to bring them wisdom and clarity of vision. Strengthen them as they lead, Lord, and help them to trust in you when circumstances become challenging. And Lord, help them to always be rooted and grounded in your love. May their decisions and actions be filled with grace and compassion. And may they always strive to bring glory to the name of Jesus. And Lord, specifically, we continue to pray and call on you for the vacant post of youth leader. And we ask, Lord, that you will soon bring to us someone who has the calling, the character, and the gifting to build on the excellent work of Liz and her team of workers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, I wanted us to pray together for the spread of the gospel across the world. In a world full of strife, the gospel of Jesus is what they need to hear. His gospel of love and compassion and forgiveness. And I want to focus the prayers by praying for a specific family, the Fletcher family, who serve so well in Thailand. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, for all those who are endeavouring to bring the gospel into unique and difficult situations, Lord. Specifically, Lord, we want to pray and thank you for the Fletcher family and ask that you will enable them to work through all the issues that affect their plans for 2024. Lord, we pray that you'll be with them as they seek to return from this country to Bangkok, and that everything that is needed for each member of the family will quickly fall into place. We ask you for John, Lord, as he continues to monitor and develop the national pilot program for those for placement of children who are currently in institutional care and who John has a passion and a burden for them to be placed into families where they can be loved and nurtured. Lord, will you give him wisdom as this is, I think, the final year of that pilot, Lord, that this would be a plan that will actually be rolled out across the country, that it would transform the lives of tens of thousands, yes, even hundreds of thousands of children who are in such great need for love. We pray too for Elise's vision to bring storytelling and story writing to help illustrate and show the way forward to these people in such difficult circumstances, the slum community that they serve and live among. We pray for their two boys, Elliot and Sam, as they mull over what their best way forward is for the next phase of their education. And we ask you to bless their daughter, Bo, with good health and help her to rapidly develop as she learns new things in both the English language and the Thai language. We pray for good health for them, and in particular, Lord, their ability to recognize when pressure and stress is getting at them and give them the wisdom of how they can step back from these pressures and encourage others to take the lead. We also pray for them for strong financial and prayer support across the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Dave's going to come and speak in a moment, and before that we're going to hear the scripture read. I just want to pray as we do that. Lord, as we come to hear your word and to hear the message that you've given for us through Dave, would you open our hearts to receive it? I pray that we would each be expectant to hear from you, expectant to encounter you this morning. Lord, would you move by your Spirit? Amen.
The reading's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. And if you want to find it in the church Bibles, it's on page 1159. 1159. From Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the provinces of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. This is the word of the Lord.
Do not close your Bibles. These are amazing, amazing words. Keep your Bibles open at that page, and if you haven't got a Bible, please open it now, because we're going to go through it quite carefully, and I just really want these words to just speak for themselves. I wonder how life is for you as you begin 2024. I expect that some of you here are in good places, with hope, optimism. There's even a little bit of love, I've noticed, in certain places. But I also know that there'll be many of us who are struggling. Many who are facing trials, feeling under pressure. People who are battling with life and feeling burdened, fearful and anxious about what this year will bring. If you're in the latter category, then I've got good news for you. Because this sermon series that we're just starting today is, I think, exactly what you need to hear. We've entitled it Triumph in Trials, as we work through the first 7 chapters of 2 Corinthians. Now, many of you will know Paul's first letter to the Corinthians really well. And much better, with those famous passages about the body, church being the body in 1 Corinthians 12, and love, that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, which is preached at so many weddings. And this second letter to Corinthians is often overlooked, but actually it contains some real gems, which we will find out all about. And part of the reason why we're actually exploring it this term, I will be perfectly honest with you, is because actually it's the book that I've dwelt on most in the last couple of months when I've been off sick. And actually through... through these precious chapters, God has given me great hope and great light and done some deep transformational work in my own trials. Pull yourself together, Dave. Right, so this letter, it is written by Paul, St. Paul, who knows a thing or two about trials. Just listen to the description of his trials that we find in today's reading. He says this. He says, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we'd received the sentence of death." You know, that's just about as challenging and as low, I think, as you can get, isn't it? And it may even be here that there are one or two people who actually really relate to those words at this moment. And if that is you, hold firm and hear the hope of Paul. And later in 2 Corinthians, if you flip to chapter 11 now, you find a bit more detail about exactly what that had looked like for Paul. 2 Corinthians 11, verses beginning at verse 23. Paul says this, listen to this. He says, "I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I've received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been consistently on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for the churches." I think with those credentials, Paul knows a thing or two about this subject. And the context of this letter, actually, to Corinthians, is that Paul has faced opposition over his leadership from traveling leaders. The super apostles, as he calls them later on, a bit sarcastically in his book. And these people had come into the church he'd found in Corinth. And these are opponents who had appeared really impressive on the outside, both in their oratory and the way that they spoke and the cleverness of their words and in their wealth. In comparison to Paul, who was poor, and he says himself he was not a great speaker. And, you know, they'd come in and they'd caused a huge amount of pain to Paul. And they discredited him. And they turned the church against him and caused great division. But Paul, in this letter, seeks to demonstrate that true Christian leadership isn't about leading with the ways and values of this world. It's not about the way of impressive stature and cleverness and power. No, he says true Christian leadership is a cross-shaped leadership. A leadership which is transformed through suffering and brokenness and self-sacrifice. A leadership where power is made perfect through weakness. And we're going to see more of that as we go through this letter. One commentator reflecting on this book says this, "In 2 Corinthians, we see Paul bare his soul. He allows us to see his inner self in turmoil." And another says, "Writing 2 Corinthians must have come close to breaking Paul." And that's what makes these amazing words that we've read this morning even more powerful. Let's just look and start at verse 3. In all of that, after all of that, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts." I wonder if we'd have said those words if we'd been through all that Paul had been through. Would we have really called God the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts? You know, it's a special phrase which I've dwelt on time and time again over these last few weeks, that God is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort. It's not the sort of phrase that you might expect to use to describe God. You know, certainly I don't think we'd find that sort of phrase in any other religion with reference to their so-called gods. But this is who God, my God and your God, is. He's the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts. And I think that's amazing. Just ponder that phrase, God of all comfort, for a moment. I wonder, when you think of that phrase, comfort, what picture comes to your mind? Maybe it's this. Hopefully some of you will have known that sort of comfort over these last couple of weeks of the Christmas season, especially after all the Christmas celebrations. My teenagers know that sort of feeling quite a lot these days. But actually, if we look at the origins of the word comfort, we find something very different. You know, comfort actually comes from the old French conforte. I don't know, whatever. Don't ask me about French. But, you know, basically that idea with strength. With is the idea of comfort to help, to strengthen, and comes from the Latin too, you know, to strengthen much. So actually what this word comfort, the root of this word, is about saying actually comfort is a strengthening given through challenging times. So to experience comfort isn't so much about removing obstacles in your life to take the trials away and making your life all warm and cozy. It's not that really. But it's rather about being strengthened in the midst of the trials to persevere and stand firm. And I think that's quite different. And actually, if you look at verse 6, we see this in verse 6, where Paul says, you know, the comfort which produces in you patient endurance. The comfort from God enables us. It strengthens us. It enables us to keep going, to keep obedient, whatever life is throwing at us, to keep following God's path, even when we are beyond our ability to endure. That is such a great promise. And yet, so often when we face trials, the temptation, I think, and I feel this is a real word that God's given me for this morning for some people, the temptation, I think, is to look for comfort elsewhere. You know, we talk about comfort eating or comfort shopping, don't we? We often find that in stressful times, people can resort to alcohol, sex, pornography, gambling to comfort them. And these are all things that the world says will bring you comfort. But I want to tell you, these are false comforts. They are just escapism, which might soothe us for the immediate moments, but will only give us more pain and trouble in the long term. You see, Paul doesn't just say God is the God of some comforts, but he says God is the God of all comforts. The God who gives complete comfort, complete and lasting strengthening to persevere. You know, I wonder whether those of us who are facing trials currently are actually finding us drifting off and looking for false comforts. And I'm going to just share that as we were praying in the vestry this morning before the service, I just felt God particularly just saying the word pornography. And just saying that, you know, actually there may be some people here who are finding their false comfort in that. And God today, at the start of the service, I just felt God say, he doesn't condemn you for that. He wants to help you break free. Because he wants to help you know the true and real and lasting comfort that he can bring. Not to find it in those things which are actually chaining you. And I want to just say, you know, if that resonates with anyone here, please, please come and talk to someone. We have people sitting here right now who are very open about their struggles in this area, male and female, who are really wanting to help people find the freedom that they found. I can connect you with those people. Don't hold on to that on your own. It's a word I really feel from God today. So I just want to say, maybe God today wants to say to some of us, recognize these things you're doing are false comforts. And turn to me, the God of all comfort. But these verses don't just stop there. You know, there's much more. They don't just stop with the comfort we're offered from God. Let's have a look at verse 4 now. Yeah, 4. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. It doesn't stop there. That's the beginning. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Do you see the progression here? You know, God comforts us in our troubles, not just so that we can be strengthened ourselves, but so that we can, even in the midst of our own trials, then pass on and share God's comfort with others. God comforts us, and then we're called to comfort others, not with our strength, but with God's strength that he gives us and comforts us with. I think that's amazing. You know, when I was dwelling on this, I couldn't help but think of this story of Corrie and Betsy Ten Boom. Many of you will know their story, but for those who don't, they were Dutch Jewish Christians who ended up in Ravensbrück concentration camp in the Second World War. And there they managed to smuggle in a Bible, which they managed to keep from the guards, partly because their barracks were so full of fleas that the guards never entered. And each night, Betsy, and you can see her in the middle there with her little tiny Bible, each night there, Betsy would read scripts to all the women packed in those overcrowded barracks and bring them some of the comfort she herself had received from God. It's an amazing testimony of these verses being lived out. We comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. I wonder what this says to us in our own situations currently. See, so often the temptation, I think, can be that when we face difficult times, we just get our heads down and we focus on ourselves and just try and survive. But the way Paul is outlining here is very different. You know, he calls us not to get our heads down, but to lift our heads up to the God of all comforts. And to open ourselves to seeking to use the comfort he's given us to comfort others, even in the midst of our trials too. And so often I think we find that because of our own troubles, we've been through experiences which helps us to relate to others who are in those experiences even more effectively. You know, the experiences that we have of our trials gives us a doorway to help others who are facing similar trials. Just want to invite you just to pause right there. And to take a moment and to just think and just pray and think whatever your circumstances are at the moment, who might God be placing in your life to bring comfort to? At work, in your family, in your neighbourhoods, in your social group? And perhaps what trials have you had, either that you're going through now or previously in your life, which might help you share comfort with others going through similar trials? Let's just pause for a moment and just ask God to put things on our hearts. And just before I close, I'm beginning to wind up. I want to share a couple of other thoughts briefly that I'd love to encourage you to dwell on this week. See, being in this privileged position I am of being rector here, you know, I get to hear the many painful stories of people. faithful people who have been fully committed to serving God and yet have faced huge trials and pain. And as I look around here today, I see some of you. I see some of your stories, and I just want to say to you, well done. Well done. Well done for enduring. Well done for keeping going, despite of all that has been thrown at you. You are an inspiration to me, and you are an inspiration to others. And I really mean that. But it still leads us to ask the question, why, doesn't it? You know, why, if God is the God of all compassion, why does he allow it? There are no easy answers to that, of course, and I haven't got the solution. But I think there are three things here in these verses which point to some of the answer to that question. And the first thing is this, that suffering and trouble is what we actually just have to accept is part of our lot as a follower of Jesus. Becoming a follower of Jesus doesn't exclude us from the pain of life. In many ways, it means we'll probably face more pain, as Paul did. It's what we're called to. You know, Jesus said this in John 16. He says, in this world, and he says this the night before he died, in this world you will face trouble. But he didn't stop there. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, Jesus said life isn't going to be easy, and we need to recognize that there's a spiritual battle going on too. I've been aware of that this week, I can tell you. Which makes those of us who are on the front line all the more vulnerable to attack. So we have to be realistic and know that in this world we will face trouble. Not least because we have an enemy who wants to oppose the work of God in this place and in our lives. But, there's a but. Jesus came to overcome that, to overcome evil, to do over the devil for good. And one day everything will be put right. Evil and pain and suffering and death and struggle and pressure and anxiety and depression will have gone forever in the new heaven and the new earth. Suffering and trouble is what we need to expect. But there's a but. Secondly, you know, actually what we are doing is, it says here in verse 5, we are sharing in the sufferings of Christ. It's quite a thought. I'd love to say more, but I haven't processed that myself, and I haven't got time. And I want to encourage you to go away and ponder that. That when you are struggling in your struggles, you are sharing in the suffering of Jesus. I wonder whether that makes you view your trials any differently. If we see them as sharing in Christ's suffering. You know, it reminds us that the suffering we experience is just a tiny part of the suffering that Jesus experienced for us on the cross. But go and ponder that one. And thirdly, you know, God uses suffering to point us to him. Verse 9, and I think this is really key. But this happens that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. You know, that I think is a really profound and key lesson for us as a church at the start of 2024. Sometimes our struggles remind us that we can't do this on our own and that we're not meant to. But we're called to do this with God and in his power. Over the last few weeks, as I've pondered a little on why I seem to battle with depression. And I've asked and pondered, why doesn't God just heal me of that? And why does it keep coming back? And there are lots of things I could say and answers I could give, but I think this is one of them. That my biggest danger is that I will try and do things in my own strength, using my own skill and my own intellect. But actually God wants me to be utterly dependent on him and not myself. Acknowledging... Whenever I come out of a tough time, I find myself much more acknowledging of the fact that I need God than when I'm in a good place. Maybe some of the challenges we've had as a church, some of the struggles of working out how you know, staffing and leadership works and all that sort of stuff, it may be actually God's trying to get our attention through that and say, put aside your competence and your skills and your intellect and rely solely on me and my power. This has happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. May that be our commitment as a church in 2024, to fully rely on God and not ourselves. And finally, this really is the finally, but there's such gold dust in this passage. I hope you can see that. Go away and dwell on this passage a week. Finally, for those struggling, particularly here today, hear Paul's confidence in God. Paul says this. He says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. You know, to those struggling here today, hear God's promise. He has delivered you. He will deliver you. He continues to deliver you. So stand firm in hope. And to the rest of us, what's the next bit of the verse? What has helped Paul stand firm? Well, look and see. On him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. You know, it was the Corinthian church's prayers that brought God comfort and strength. Our prayers make a difference. And I know that because I could say that for you guys. You have brought me comfort in the last few months by your prayers for me. And I want to say thank you for that. You know, our prayers are one way in which we can comfort others with the comfort that we receive from God. So whether we're in the midst of trials or not at the moment, let us be a people committed to praying. To praying for God's comfort, God's strengthening for those in trials, so that they can endure and stand firm. I just sense God wants us to just really pause now and have a bit of space for him to meet us. And the way we're going to do that is slightly differently. We're going to play a couple of songs and chance to reflect to those. And, you know, I just want to release you to do whatever you need to do. It might be actually you just want to sit there with this scripture and just dwell on one sentence. But I also just sense God wants to invite some people today to just step forward and as an acknowledgement that actually I need God's comfort. An acknowledgement to say, I can't do this myself. And so I'm going to just invite anyone who wants to just to step forward to the front and just to stand here, perhaps with your arms open, just to receive God's comfort. You know, actually, we don't need a prayer minister just doing that for us sometimes. I think this is one of the times where we just need to be standing before God and let God do it directly. And there are others who are going to come up here who are just going to be praying over you, praying blessing on what the Holy Spirit is doing, and praying for God's comfort to come on you, but not coming up to you necessarily. It might be the odd word that they have for you, but not just leaving you and God to do your own business. And I want to particularly just invite, you know, whoever feels prompted, but particularly perhaps these people. For those at the moment who are under pressure and who are facing real trials, God wants to bring you his comfort this morning. He wants to pour his comfort and his strengthening into you. Come and receive that this morning. Perhaps actually there are people here who are really caring for others in really difficult circumstances. And actually you're all out yourself. And that's a good place to be, because actually the comfort you give to others isn't to come from you, it's to come from God. So, you know, if you find yourself in a particular caring, particularly those of you who are in caring professions, you know, come forward and allow God, the God of all comfort, to fill you with his comfort so that you can have that comfort to go off and share with others. And perhaps just that third thing of, you know, those who want to just acknowledge, God, I've been going after false comforts. I've been looking for comfort in those things which are not of you. And this morning I want to come to you not to be condemned, but to come and receive your grace to come and receive your fresh comfort, to give that comfort which is going to break the chains of addiction to other things. And just let God meet you with his amazing love and compassion. So can I just invite the band to come back, and I just invite us all to stand and let me pray. God, who is the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts, we acknowledge your presence. And we come before you here at the start of 2024 to open ourselves, to say, will you bring us some extra special comfort by your Spirit this morning? That will comfort those who are in trials, who will comfort those who are in the midst of comforting others, who will redirect those of us who are looking for false comforts to find the source of true comforts. We say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. To sing, and if you want to respond by coming forward, do. If you want to respond by sitting down or getting someone around you to pray, do. However the Spirit leads, but just take this space for God to minister to you this morning.
You bring rest.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
So as we gather around the Lord's table, you know, we just said, I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, so we're going to begin by just sharing the peace. But I suggest we don't just go around and do it to everybody. We just almost just speak it to everybody. That peace of Jesus, which, you know, we all need. You know, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. My peace I bring to you. I don't bring as the world brings. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And we say to each other, and also with you. And so the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, he took the cup of wine and gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. So as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, Lord, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And to sit or kneel as we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. I just want to say, you know, this is a continuation of the response. You know, as we receive the bread and the wine, and it's all gluten-free bread, so same for everybody. If you want non-alcoholic, come to the front. But as you receive this, you know, see this is your feeding and your strengthening to endure. As you receive the bread and the wine, this is your physical, you know, sign of the comfort that God gives you. And I just invite you to keep on responding. When you've received communion, there's going to be a couple of people offering prayer ministry in the vestry. Just go through this door and you can go if you want a choir in there. There'll be another couple of people at the front, other side of the altar too. If you want to have specific prayer ministry for specific things, and it can be anything, big or small. If that's where you need now, feel free to use that. But just use this continued space to let God to continue to meet you and strengthen you.
when the world is trying to tell me I should learn it. You're the one who's saying I have paid it all. Even though I know deep down I don't deserve it.
Thank you.
Do take a seat. That's such a great way to end the service with that song. Just thinking back to the passage, Paul's response in the midst of all his troubles is to praise God, and that's exactly what that song's all about, singing about the goodness of God and all he's done for us. Great way to finish. Now, just want to stress that it's not too late. If you haven't come for prayer and you want to come for prayer, there will be people available at the end. Particularly if you... someone came to me with a word that perhaps there are people who feel that they can't come to God for comfort because what they know they've done is just too great, too big, and they can't bring that to God. That's just not true. God can comfort all of us. God isn't looking to condemn. He's looking to forgive and to free. And particularly if that's around those areas of addictions, Dave was talking about pornography, alcohol. Just from my experience, and before I went for my selection panel for ordination, I met with the DDO, and he said we've got to have one meeting, which is the difficult conversation. And he brought up all of those conversations which nobody likes to talk about, and asked me all about them. And particularly around pornography, he said, you know what, I am more surprised now when people say it hasn't been a problem for them than not. So that's what the diocesan staff are saying to people who are going to become vicars. So there is no, these areas bring shame, but don't feel that there is too much shame for you to come forward and receive prayer. God wants to free you. And if that's still you, if you haven't come forward, please do come forward at the end. I must remember to give notices because coming up on Thursday 11th, this Thursday, starting is the Alpha Light course. It's Alpha Light because it's been condensed down into 4 weeks, and that's starting here 12:30 till 2:30 on Thursdays. Where's Colin? Everyone knows who Colin is. Wave, Colin. There you go, he's waving. If you want to know any more about that, speak to Colin. So a blessing as we end. May the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, comfort you in all your troubles, so that you can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort you yourself have received from God. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord, to comfort those who need comfort. In the name of Christ. Amen. So do come for prayer. Do go for tea and coffee and biscuits in the hall. Have a great week.
Truth, and Father God, I'll adore.